Jan and I are very grateful to be here with you tonight. We do want to thank you very much, first of all, for your support of our ministry. We were members, associate members here from 93 to 95. And after that, we left to work in northern Nigeria. We'd already been with Mission to the World since 1988, working first in Kenya for one term. And then we're back here, as John said. I studied at RTS and got a master's degree in missions. And then we went from here to northern Nigeria, where we worked with the Fulani people. And you were part of our work there. I'm a physician. We went there and we're doing community health development type work along with church planting. When we went to Nigeria, there were, out of the 12 million Fulani in Nigeria, only about 500 Christians. These days, there are at least probably 6,000 or 7,000, maybe more. We had to leave Nigeria in 2004 when I developed back problems and had surgery, and though the surgery was successful, couldn't tolerate rural African lifestyle anymore with the physical demands. And God led us from there to work in London. I want to tell you just briefly that the work in Nigeria is continuing. We have had word from a missionary that's there working with the Fulani, not living in the town where we live, but traveling there from time to time, that many Fulani are coming to Christ, and that there in the area where we lived and worked, that there's a congregation of Fulani who meet together for prayer and worship. In another part of the state that we lived in, where one of our early converts moved, there's now as many as 60 or 70 Fulani believers that are meeting together. Some of the young men that we worked with before they even became Christians are now serving as pastors and missionaries to the Fulani people. So we rejoice that God has continued the work there after we had to leave. In 2004, we were looking to continue with Mission to the World. We wanted, which is our denomination's mission agency. We also wanted to continue to work with Muslim people group. And having studied three African languages, we were also hoping to find a place where we could start out at least working with English. About that time, God had an opening for us to move to London. Mission to the World had a church planting team that was forming to go there to work with Muslim immigrants, and they asked us to come and to lead that church planting work. We went to London in late 2004. Our team was working in West London with Farsi speakers, with Afghans and Iranians, in conjunction with the International Presbyterian Church, a small denomination that was formed by Francis Schaeffer in the 50s. And in East London, where we live, where we settled, working primarily with Pakistani Muslims and other men and women of South Asian origin from India or Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, or Pakistan. That work, too, has developed, and we thank you for being part of that as well. We were last here about 3 years ago and reported some about that work, and let me just tell you a few things that have happened since then. And a couple of years ago, the work was divided into two separate teams. We continued to live in East London and to be in charge of the work there. And in West London, we appointed a new team leader, and the work there continues as well.
I've never worn one of these before. Let me just add my thanks before I go on. Not just to thank you for your support, which I do. We're very grateful for the way you have encouraged us and supported us financially and with your prayers. But I thank you, too, for the part that you had in our lives in those couple of years that we were here. Many of you will remember that we were here with our two sons, Jordan and Daniel. Jordan was in the junior high program, and Daniel was in elementary school. And those of you who taught Sunday school and worked with the young teenagers had a large part in our children's lives, and we really thank you for that. And we're thankful today that they both and their wives are walking with the Lord. And we're just so grateful for the Christians that he has brought into their lives over the years. And you were a large part of that. So thank you so much. And keep on the good work that you're doing, working with the children here in the church. And pray that God would be calling some of those to serve cross-culturally as they grow up and leave the church as well. Our time in London has been a good time. It's been a fruitful time. When we left Nigeria, it was really hard for us. We loved it in Nigeria, and we had really poured our lives into the work there. Jordan and Daniel had gone to boarding school, and that was hard emotionally and spiritually for us, but God blessed, and they did well, and he enabled us to do well also. And then just as they had really finished and had come back to the States was when God called us away from Nigeria. And that was a hard time for us. And it was hard to think about going somewhere else, and especially to think about going to such a different place, from sunny rural Africa to a huge city where the sun hardly ever shines, and to be among so many different people. We were used to being the only white people in our town and in our large area, and to go in and be among people from all over the world was quite a challenge for us. But just as God enabled us to persevere in Nigeria for 8 years, he has enabled us to persevere in London as well. And he's given us a love for the people there and also for the place. So we're so glad that he has added that as part of our journey in serving him. The last 5 years have been a great delight as we've seen the work grow there. When our team first went there, none of us had any contact with Muslim peoples. And so it was up to us to figure out how we could meet Muslims and begin to develop relationships. We've been doing many different things. One of our teammates is a tennis player, and he has used playing and coaching tennis to get to know people in the local park. A colleague and I started a women's English class a couple of years ago. I've been running a parent-toddler group. The men have a weekly discussion group and have done a book table on our high street. They've had a small men's Bible study with Muslim background believers and some Muslims. We've had Pakistani poetry evenings once a quarter. And in the last couple of years, we've had outreach dinners at Christmas and Easter time that have been very well attended. So all of these activities have been for one purpose, and that has been to get to know people so that we could share our lives with them and pray that that would lead to gospel opportunities. Muslims aren't coming to Christ mainly because they're not hearing about Christ. And in order for them to come to him, they have to hear. And of course, hearing the word of God is the most important factor. But alongside that also, it's been shown that most Muslims who do become Christians come because of a long-term relationship with the Christian. And Muslims believe that Christianity is what they see in the West, immorality, gambling, pornography, adultery. All of these things in their minds represent Christianity. So it's our responsibility to show them that Christianity indeed is just the opposite of that. And for us to live out our lives before them and show them what it means to follow Jesus. So that's what our team has been about doing these 5 years. We've been able to develop many relationships. We spend a large part of our time in people's homes, visiting them and sharing our lives with them, and having gospel opportunities as well. We're thankful that there have been some men who have come to Christ. And just last Sunday, the team on the west side had their very first church service in Farsi for Christians from Iranian and Afghan backgrounds. And we really rejoice that this has taken place. There's an Afghan believer who is serving as a pastor there. And he's working with the MTW couple there. And this has been a great thing to take place after 5 years of laboring there. They had over 30 people at their first service. So please pray that God would use these services to strengthen Iranian believers and to draw others to himself. On the east side of London, things are going a bit slower. We're working mainly with Pakistanis, and they have been have shown themselves to be more resistant to the gospel. To be Pakistani is to be Muslim, and it's hard for them to even think that they might could turn away from that religion and that culture. But there have been some men who have come to Christ, and the team there now is hoping to start a church service soon. They're praying that God would lead them to a national church planter who could serve alongside them. So the work really is developing well, and it's been a great joy to serve there. About a year ago, we received a phone call out of the clear blue asking David if he would consider taking a new position with MTW. He was asked if he would become an area director for Enterprise, the part of MTW that's involved in Muslim outreach. And we loved what we were doing. And it seemed that the team was really gelling and the work was just taking off. And my first response was, no way. I did not want to even think about leaving what we were doing. But after much prayer and counsel and discussion, we did believe that God was leading us to this new work. And we're so thankful that we can stay where we are. We can continue to be involved in the team's work there in East London. When we're there, we can continue in the friendships that have developed over these last 5 years, and hopefully have the opportunity to see many of these people come to Christ. But meanwhile, we're busy now doing other things among the enterprise workers across the world.
Our new position as area director does involve supervising Muslim-focused works all around the world. Within Enterprise, we have basically, we think, two kinds of works: those that are led by our workers. Our workers develop the vision and strategy, and those works where the vision and strategy is developed by national partners or national churches. So we have two area directors. The other area director is over those national-led works, and then Jan and I are over all the works that are led by our personnel. So that involves our teams from Indonesia, Malaysia, right across Central Asia, in Azerbaijan, in the Middle East, in North Africa, in Sub-Saharan Africa, in Europe, even here in the U.S. When we began this work in April and began it full time as we made a transition to a new team leader there in London, we found that it involved a lot of travel, as we knew it would, and our goal in traveling to different locations was to meet the teams there, to get to know the people that we were supervising, to learn about their context, to help them evaluate their strategy, to help them solve problems in their ministry, and to encourage them. Work with Muslims can be slow. It can sometimes be discouraging. For Frequently, our workers are in places where they're somewhat isolated, where they don't have regular encouraging Christian fellowship, where there's a lack of spiritual food. And so part of our work is to refresh them. It's been a joy for us to travel. I've been to Morocco to visit our team there. Jan and I have traveled to Baku in Azerbaijan. We've traveled to West Africa, to Senegal, and to Burkina Faso. We've traveled in East Africa, in Tanzania, and Ethiopia. We've traveled to Brussels to see our team there. And God has given us a great privilege, not only of being with our teams, but in worshiping with national believers in those different places. It's an exciting time to be involved with Muslim outreach. More Muslims are coming to Christ in the last 5 years than in all the rest of the history of Islam. So when we were in Baku, Azerbaijan, on a Sunday, we worshiped together with about 30 or 35 believers from Muslim backgrounds in that country in a small church that was planted by a Korean missionary, but now is where we have two couples working with that church, helping to train leaders to develop an outreach program, to develop discipleship, to develop children's ministries, as well as the team there is also helping that church to seek ways to reach out. And even now, that church, small as it is considering dividing into two separate cell groups so that they can be more effective in outreach. We rejoice to see in that formerly communist country, where everyone really is from a Muslim background, to see people coming to Christ. We had the privilege in Brussels of worshiping with a Farsi-speaking congregation, a congregation of about 40 or so, all Iranians, most all from Muslim backgrounds, again, worshiping together. The service there was led by a missionary pastor from the Evangelical Free Church, and one of our workers serves as the co-pastor for that work. They're involved in training elders, training leaders. There are young men there that they've been encouraging and coaching, who are now leading Bible studies. And again, that church is looking to reach out and to grow. It was a great privilege for us to see them praising our God together. When we traveled to Senegal a few months ago, we worshiped with African believers. Again, a congregation of about 25 or 30, mostly or basically all from Muslim backgrounds, led by an African pastor. Our team there is working not only with local leaders, but is involved with theological education in that whole region. They bring leaders together from Senegal, Ivory Coast, and Togo for classes to equip them to lead churches in those areas. And they've also encouraged the church there in Senegal in outreach, and that church is now sending workers into neighboring countries and has encouraged pastors in outreach in some of the neighboring countries as well. So in this too country where it's a majority Muslim population, the word of God is going out and people are coming to Christ. Here's what our workers are doing. Just what Paul wrote about in Acts 26 when he said that his ministry was to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. What do you think the biggest barrier is for Muslims coming to Christ? Muslims are people that, like us, are concerned about morality. They're concerned about their family life. They want to follow God. The first chapter of the Quran says, "In the name of God, the most gracious and most merciful, praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. You do we worship, and your aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Muslims are seeking the aid of God. They want to be led in God's straight way. They realize that they have to depend on God's grace and mercy. But they feel that they obtain that grace by what they do. You know that for ourselves, before we became Christians, our most natural way to relate to God was to do something good, or to try to do something good, to make God like us better. That's the way that we're wired in our sinful condition. We want to go to church, and that will please God, and so He'll bless us. We want to give to charity. We want to do good to our neighbors and feel that God should bless us then. That's our natural way to relate to God. And of course, we know that in the gospel, that's completely wrong, that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can do to earn God's favor. But on the other hand, God has graciously poured out His favor on us in Christ Jesus. And through faith in Him, we receive the blessings of God, the blessings that He promised to Abraham. Muslims seek those blessings of Abraham too, but they do it by performing what the Quran teaches and what their tradition teaches. Muslims are very much concerned about spiritual things, and so it's very easy for us to talk to them about the gospel. Muslims are called to pray 5 times a day. They're called to keep the fast during the month of Ramadan. Every Muslim has to confess that there is no God but God, and that Muhammad is his prophet. The faithful Muslim gives alms to help the poor, to provide charity for those that are less fortunate. And Muslims that are able to afford it and are physically able make pilgrimage to Mecca in order to pray with Muslims from all over the world as a sign of the community of the faithful throughout the world. As Muslims do these things and many others, they believe that these things will allow God to be merciful to them. Islam very much fulfills the desires of our natural heart, because we do want to do things that make God happy with us. And these things that a Muslim is called to do are difficult, but they're not so difficult that they can't be done. And so when the Muslim does them, he can feel very proud of himself. And of course, that also feeds our natural desires. We all want to feel proud of ourselves. Of course, if you think about your own life, you realize, if you're like me, and I'm sure you are, that there are times as Christians that we fall into that same way of relating to God. We feel like, oh, I'm having a really bad day today. It must be because I didn't have my quiet time this morning. Well, tomorrow I'll read twice as much and pray twice as long, and that way maybe God will bless me. Or we feel like my life needs more of God's blessing, so maybe I'll give more in the offering or tithe or give more of my money to the church. Sometimes, even in missionary service, we can be motivated by the wrong things. But just like we need the gospel day by day, Muslims need to hear the gospel. We think that the biggest barrier for Muslims coming to Christ, as Jan said, is that they've never heard. They've never heard in a way that they can understand and see Christianity lived out. Of course, Muslims know about Jesus. He's a prominent prophet in the Quran. In fact, Muslims say that they honor Jesus more than we do because they don't make him out to be something that he's not. But they do honor him as the second greatest prophet. But they don't know what it means to be a Christian. a true Christian. We know that Christianity is very much what we believe, but it's also a life that we have to live. And so Muslims need to hear not only what we do believe, to hear about the grace that's offered through Jesus Christ, but they need to see it lived out before them in the context of a relationship. As Christians, it's very much our obligation, our duty, our responsibility to take that first step to build those relationships. As Christians, we shouldn't expect that lost people, whether they're Muslims or not, are going to come to us and ask us what's up with our beliefs. It's our job to build relationships and to share our beliefs. The great thing about working with Muslims is that not only are they spiritual people with whom it's very easy to talk about the gospel, but in most cases they come from cultures that are very hospitable. And so they welcome friendships. They welcome us into their homes. They welcome the opportunity to meet together and to talk and to share our lives. As we've traveled around since we've been back in the U.S., and as we've talked to people in churches, one thing that we've done in a number of settings is we've asked people, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say the word Muslim? And in many places we've passed out index cards and had people write that down. By far the most common response is, what do you think? Terrorist. The vast majority of the responses are like that. Terrorist, anti-Christian, radical. Many of us here in the U.S., when we think of Muslims, we respond with fear and with distrust. And of course, if we're afraid of people, if we're suspicious of them, we're unlikely to want to share our lives and to share the gospel. So not only do Muslims need to be converted by meeting Jesus Christ, but often we here in the church also need a conversion in our attitudes to the unbelievers around us, and particularly a conversion in our attitudes towards immigrants, and Muslim immigrants especially. Muslims need to hear the gospel. Muslims are responding to Christ. As our workers around the world are building friendships, as they're sharing their lives and sharing the gospel, they're seeing men and women and families come to Christ and to join together with us to worship our great Lord and Savior. We know that from what the Scripture teaches, that at that last great day, that there will be people from every tribe and nation and people and tongue worshiping the Lamb, worshiping at the throne of God. So I'd like for you to consider what your part in that is. We do thank you very much for your participation with us, for your support of our ministry as we're in Nigeria, as we've ministered in London, and now as we're going around supporting works with Muslims around the world. We do very much appreciate your prayers and your financial support and your encouragement as well. It's really great to be here with you tonight. If you'd like to learn more about about Islam or how to reach out to your Muslim neighbor, and I know that probably many of you do have Muslim neighbors or colleagues at work or schoolmates or friends. On our display table over here in the foyer, there's a sheet with some suggested reading, a few books that we would recommend that give some practical information about Islam, but also give practical things to do and not to do in order to build relationships. Also on our display table, if you're not currently getting our newsletter, which comes out 3 times a year by mail, and you would like to get that to keep abreast of what's happening with us, then you can sign up for that there. If you would like to pray for us regularly, and you're not currently receiving our email prayer updates that we send out monthly, you can also sign up there on a sheet on our table for that, leaving your email address. And finally, on the table, in addition to some pictures of places that we visited, of Muslim works around the world, there's our new prayer card that has an updated picture, information about our ministry, and also information about how to support us financially if you'd like to be involved in supporting us. We're happy to report that through your generosity and our other supporting churches and individuals, that in the past year, our support has done well in spite of the recession and economic downturn. That's a real blessing from God. We will need extra support in the coming year because of the more extensive travel that our new responsibilities entail. So pray that that God would continue to bless and provide in that area. We do want to see the whole church involved in taking the gospel to Muslims. We supervise about 60 or 70 people. There are another 50 or 60 that are working with Enterprise. There are several thousand missionaries around the world working with Muslims. But all of us together are never going to reach all the Muslims in the world. It takes ordinary Christians in the pews, ordinary Christians here in the U.S., ordinary Christians around the world to reach out, to share their lives and to share the gospel. Let me stop there. We have some time left. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. Anybody? Okay. We do thank you very much for your care and support. Let me just pray with us. Loving Father, we thank you for your blessing being poured out on people around the world, that unbelievers are coming to Christ and joining with us to worship you. Father, we thank you for this congregation, for their faithfulness to proclaim the gospel here in Clinton and beyond. And we pray that you would continue to bless them, make this church a lighthouse for the gospel. Father, show us what you would have us do. Show us the people in our lives that you would have us to build relations with and to share our lives in the gospel, that Christ would be glorified. And we pray in his name. Amen.